The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts. Radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics.
Well, howdy there, patriots and obedient vassals. Welcome to your weekly dose of Red Pill Politics. It is my succinct pleasure to be spending Sunday morning with all y'all. Hope y'all had a wonderful week. Been a typical kind of wintry mix-up here. Got a few snowflakes, a little cold rain, some wind. Typical stuff. Weather is happening all around us, you would think, but not to all. Oh no, today I'm going to be teeing off almost exclusively on those heathens at the UN. This climate change nonsense, we're going to spend about a full 2 hours beating up on this pretty damn good, and I am going to wave the red flag as energetically as I possibly can. Not that I haven't been waving the red flag every week, week after week, for about a decade now. All right, but this is going to get real, really fast, and we're going to talk about what's coming out of COP28 for the entire 2 hours. So I hope you're ready. Have a pen and pad ready. Have your phone ready to call in. All right, I want to hear examples of what you're seeing. I'm sure you're already seeing it. This pinch has been ongoing for quite some time. All right, you got bike lanes where there are no bicycles, and you are starving for parking. You're going to see water use. Your water bill, for those of you that pay for your water, which is going to be all of you soon, okay, that's never going down. When it goes up, don't expect it to go up by a couple of percent. It's going to start going up by orders of magnitude. Okay, that's what's going to happen. We're going to be talking about that. Be ready to share your stories and your concerns, too, as this is a participation sport, you see. I almost always ask the listeners to do something. I don't sit up here for 2 hours to entertain you. I am not a friggin' entertainer. The only reason that I'm not out preparing to go ice fishing right now or deer hunting is because we're losing the republic. None of that crap is going to matter soon. So yes, I'm not here for your entertainment. I'm here waving the red flag today and every day. All right, so pay attention. It's all coming to a head right now, and we're going to talk about it today. COP28's going on, and as I warned you, I'm from the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, and boy, do we breed and unleash on the rest of the country and the rest of the world some of the most vile communist politicians that you have probably ever laid eyes on. All right. Right now, our governor, who used to be the attorney general, tried legislating from her seat, legislating against the Second Amendment. I swear the only thing that this woman cares about is that if you're suffering from gender dysphoria, she's all about you. If you want to take people's guns, OK, she is your gal. Well, you know, do we expose these people and get rid of them? No, she's our governor now. Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Mitt Romney, stinking up Utah over there. He was a governor from the Commonwealth. Complete rhino. Complete and total rhino. And one of his kids, by the way, is on a board of directors over there in Ukraine in these energy businesses. So no wonder why things are the way they are. How much of that, those billions and billions of dollars that go out the door from the United States over to Ukraine wind up back in the coffers of people like Mitt Romney? Oh, man. Oh, what a freaking mess we got now. So, yeah, John Kerry, he hails from Massachusetts. He's the big environmental and climate envoy for the Bidenista regime. And he has never failed to have his nose up the butts of the people at the UN. He is all about that. The Council on Foreign Relations, another organization, one of the Soviets, as I call them, Council on Foreign Relations, whose goal it is to dissolve national boundaries. You know, back in the day, the people that put it all on the line to have freedom here. I mean, we fought a revolution to be free, to be able to think and speak as we will, to worship as we will, to be able to defend ourselves and feed ourselves, to provide for ourselves, self-government. You know, you got to be able to govern yourself. You make bad decisions back then, you just starved to death and froze to death as a matter of poor choice. Right now, you're going to starve to death and freeze to death due to government policy. Not even due to bad decisions. The only bad decision on your part is being apathetic and thinking that politicians are going to save you, that they love you. Oh, no, they've considered you the enemy, folks. There's too damn many of you, and you're a plague on the planet, they'll tell you. They'll tell you you'll own nothing and like it, that you'll eat bugs, and they're on their way. It's going to get to the point where if you want to eat something natural that hasn't got vaccines and all kinds of things either grown into its genetics or altered in a lab and grown in a lab and fed to you, it might be that insects are the only natural protein source that you can find. Oh, Jesus. And they're doing it. They're doing it, too. Man, I don't know, folks. Anyways, hello. Happy, what's today? December 3rd. December 3rd. Yeah, we're heading I can't believe that how quickly this last summer went by. And I think part of it's in my own head because I never feel prepared and ready. You know what I mean? There was so much more that I wanted to do because I see what's coming. I see what's coming. And I try every week, every time I go, if I go food shopping, I don't just buy the food to get me through for the week or the month or whatever. I go in and every single time I'll buy something to go in the pantry, some prep food, a quantity, a bulk of something. And then, I mean, I just keep whittling away a little at a time. You got to do what you got to do. But I've been in that mindset for quite some time. And in the summer for me flew by so darn quick. It's incredible. But yeah, here it is, December 3rd. Winter is upon us. For those of you in the temperate zone, it's going to get cold. And it's going to get even colder. When you hear what's coming out of COP28, And it's all over social media. I'm no longer on Facebook, of course. I have no idea what's going on there. I don't really care that much. Kind of feels good to be not tethered to that any longer. But I am on the Twitter sphere. And the feeds, the paid commercial crap from the United Nations Borg is overwhelming. It's like jumping out of a boat and trying not to get wet. It is friggin' everywhere. But here's something that I noticed. And I'm going to share this observation with you because I want you to push back with me. Is that your run-of-the-mill Marxist and communist politician out there that posts on Twitter if you take the time to click and actually read the comments, you'll find that like 99-1, the comments are against them. Their people know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and just calling them right out, right to their face. I can't believe they keep posting with such a ratio. And I'm serious. It's like 99-1 of it just getting hammered. The people are awake to the mechanisms. They're waking up to the mechanisms and how they do things and shroud things in their language. But the crap from the UN, I noticed, if you go and you click on their comments, they have fortified in advance. They've been preparing for this for quite some time. They've been going after the youth on an ongoing basis. And they now have an army of little youth minions prepared to quickly descend on these comments and posts. So when you go in there, it's kind of the other way around now. Is 1-99, where a post about how they're going to take away your water shows up. And then all of a sudden, immediately, a flood of other UN youth, other Hitler youth, come in there to provide visual support. Okay, so they're all just sitting there in a circle jerk, patting each other on the back to make it look like that there's public buy-in. Okay, that there's public buy-in, and there's not. So don't avoid, when you see these UN posts going by, don't avoid them and scroll past. You go in and start hammering on them. Expose them for what they are. Call them the global communists that they are. All right. Remember all those discussions that we had about artificial scarcity, about attacking the supply lines. We're under attack. And the sad thing is, I actually wish they were actually lobbing bombs at us, because then people would realize it. Right now, they don't realize that they're under intellectual attack. They're under financial attack. They're under resource attack. You go in and you find yourself a veteran. All right. So a seasoned veteran, someone who's been at the battle lines before in whatever war. I don't care. This is a systemic observation here. Is a major part of every battle plan is disrupting the supply lines of the enemy. Okay, and like I said, to reiterate, you and I are the enemy. We're the ones that have overpopulated the earth and used the resources and creating all this climate change. They're so frantic out there to call everything, because they, let's face it, you know, first we were going to get overrun by glaciers. All right, it was global cooling. And then it was global warming. You know, and they couldn't make up their mind, so they just said climate change. So now, every time there's a significant storm event of any type, any tornado hit somewhere, and we've had tornadoes forever. They're nothing new, but now all they got to do is go and show the carnage. And say, oh, don't tell me climate change doesn't kill. Every time there's a flood or a drought, these things have happened. And weather being what it is, and there's so much energy in the atmosphere, when the right conditions, the perfect storm, if you will, with the right conditions develop, you can have exceptional rain. You can have exceptional dryness or wind. These things happen all the time. Prove it to yourself. Go back and look at it. I mean, every year, throughout the year, summer and winter, you hear on the weather now where there's record highs for this and record snowfall for that. There's records set on particular days in points in time every day somewhere. You know, just the right conditions occurred for there to be, you know, someone just gets hammered with snow. All of a sudden, bang, 2 foot snow, 2.5 foot snowfall. All right. They're going to package this up as climate change. But it's not. It's weather. It's just weather. You know, and the climate is changing. This is the thing, is I'd love sometime to spend just an entire show on the real science and the real things that we got to be concerned about with respect to climate change. Because it is a thing. The climate does change. It's on a cycle. And we can go back in time and analyze that, and you'll see that the rise of civilizations, all great civilizations, when they rose into power and in greatness, happened during their warming period. And then during the cooling period, when the glaciers now came back. And again, I am broadcasting to you from a place that had 1 mile of ice over my head. Multiple times in the past, not just once. Okay? So this happens in cycles. And the rise and fall of civilizations tracks the heat cycle and the cooling cycle of the planet. And it goes, this goes way back before the industrial revolution. And this was a big theme too, by the way, at COP28, to deindustrialize. And where did I find that language? Where else? I'll tell you where. I was preparing to fire off another scathing letter to my senator. So I find myself at the website staring straight at the mugs of Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey. I clicked on Ed Markey's site, and he has his little guidebook in there, his guidebook for climate change and climate resiliency. All right. Oh, and there it is. To flat out and deindustrialize. To get permission from the original landowners, being the Native American people. All right. Ed Markey is talking a lot like the leader of China right now, who says that, you know, going way back in history, and they're going way back, they say that the Chinese populated much of South America in the United States. And because of that, their thousand-year war includes taking over these territories. You know, and look at how much farmland they own here now. Don't tell me they're not. They just aren't dropping bombs yet. Get ready. It is coming, folks. So, yeah, Ed Markey is all about deindustrializing. And you're going to find this if you go and look at your Congress critters who are all bought into climate change and sustainable development. It's all there. And they didn't have to dream up a whole lot because, you see, this is what the UN does when we give them millions and billions of dollars. They turn around, they create these toolkits and guides and all kinds of fancy PowerPoints and things that they can spoon feed to everyone up and down the Soviet food chain. And it lands right in your senator's inbox and gets slid right into their website. That's exactly what's happening. They're telling us what they're going to do. And right now I'm seeing clips out of COP28 from people just like John Kerry and many others. They're doing, many nations leaders are doing this right now to their people. But they've pledged, this is what's pledged here in the United States, is that all current coal facilities will be shut down. If they are currently building, they will be shut down. Those that are existing and running will be ultimately shut down. And they're taking us right off from fossil fuels. They've pledged to have us off fossil fuels. We've already, the normies out there have kind of had this quick little discussion, and it didn't take much in terms of, you know, make a few observations, crunch a couple of basic numbers to realize that what they're proposing is absolutely impossible, with one exception. Okay, there's no way, we know, there's no way they're going to replace the current population of private transportation and public transportation, the shipping, you know, for trucks and barges and everything, that there's no way they could possibly, they don't even physically have the material on the planet Earth to mine and make the batteries for electric vehicles. All right, so it can't be for that. All right, we all know that. They know that. So what else? If they're not going to replace, if my gas car isn't going to be replaced with a battery car, what's in store for me in my car? All right, well, I won't have one. I may have a bicycle. All right, they might be able to afford little electric bicycles, maybe. Okay, but you're not going to have that car. Car dealerships are already freaking out and saying, listen, you've got to stop this. Don't push these electric cars anymore. We got lots full of these cars and no one's buying them. You know what's going to happen to all these car dealerships? I'm serious. If you're out to buy a car, right now is the time. If you go out the last couple weeks of December and you beat them down, you get them as low as you can get them, and then you remind them that in a week, when it turns January 1st, that the excise tax on this vehicle is, X amount of dollars. Now, take one of these great big extremely pricey electric cars and what the sticker value of that car is, and imagine what the excise tax for that vehicle will be on the dealer times however many they got in their yard. They're freaking out right now. You're going to go bankrupt is what's going to happen. Or you're going to wind up with another subsidy where you bail them out. You're not going to have any choice. Otherwise, because you're not going to be able to withstand that. You watch. You're going to fund this one. I promise you that's the way the politicians, because they love you so damn much. They don't want to see those electric car dealerships go under. So you're going to underwrite their excise tax somehow. You watch and you mark my words, that's what's coming. But yeah, they can't afford, they can't possibly create the vehicles. There's no demand for them. We're seeing that now. Those that wanted them have already got them. All right. So it must be that they're trying to get rid of the population of vehicles in general. You're going to find that there's going to be plenty of funding and grants for public transportation that is green and electric. So that if you do, as a human being, want to travel, there's an option. You can take the bike or you can take our electric bus, but you are not going to have a car. That's not traveling freely, folks. That's not what the Constitution is explained to you. This is the limitations on government. The Constitution is a limiting document on government. It's not our rule book, you know. Government has no authority to do the things that they're doing. What is being agreed upon, what is being spoken out loud by people like John Kerry, is treasonous. It's real, actual treason. They are colluding and conspiring with foreign entities, nonetheless, not only domestically, but with foreign entities, to meet their agenda and their goal, which is antithetical to the notion of freedom, liberty, and private property rights that we have here in America. The UN is incompatible. It's a disgusting organization, and it's got to be run out. America has got to run them out off of American soil. Stop funding them. Understand when you're under attack. They are enemies of the state. We got to start saying it. John Kerry is an enemy of the state. He's committing treason right now. He's coming back to create shortages for all those things that you need. It's amazing. People do not realize how much of an influence these things they call fossil fuels. I'm telling you. I try not to use that word that often, but understand this. It is not something that, took from the time of the dinosaurs till now to produce. These hydrocarbons, these fuels, is rotten biomass, is plant material of today and last year and last decade and 100 years ago. This is where this crude comes from. It's an ongoing process. The same way a tree will grow, more oil will be produced by the biomass all around us. But yeah, he's going to shut down those very things, because you're going to find that there's that's in pharmaceuticals, it's in all plastics, it's in everything, almost everything, which means the price of almost everything is going up. We've been talking about hyperinflation. People think just because it's expensive now, you know, it just went up a couple of clicks. This is not hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is when it changes by percentages between the time you leave in the morning and come back in the afternoon. But it's coming. And it's going to be through the creation of artificial scarcity if they are successful in shutting down coal plants, shutting down refineries. And then the only way to be mobile in this country is going to be for you vassals to go buy yourself a pass on a government bus or a train. Maybe your community will be issued, you know, a certain number of shared vehicles. Imagine that. They're literally talking about that, about people not owning their cars, that they're going to be shared by communities or a section of a street, and everyone will share. Oh, yeah, right. In the water. They're coming after everything. This COP28 is nasty, bad stuff. I really hope you folks are ready for this. If you haven't been on Twitter yet, it was amazing. The moment that summit started, and it's ongoing right now, the moment it started, an army of propaganda came out. It is, to me, just so obvious. So obvious. I want you to go in there, click on this stuff, and have a look for yourself at what they're doing. And let them know that you know what they're doing. Your politicians, track them down wherever they are, wherever they leave their crumbs, and remind them that they do not have the authority to do this. That the Commerce Clause is a mandate on them to keep commerce regular, not to be shutting things down. You know, are we at a point where we literally are going to have to go and protect, physically protect the stores that we buy our food at, the gas stations that we fuel our vehicles, the trucks that are transporting the fuel? I mean, they're starving you out. They're starving you out. Everything that you need, that is a everything in your life that is a consumable, that is a requirement, not a want, but a need. We're at a point now where, you know, many places of the country, right here, right now, if we didn't have power, if half of the people here in Massachusetts or in the Northeast could not afford power, I mean, you're talking about death. We'll be right back after this message. This is Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more on COP28.
Do shadow hands run democracy? The edges speak of a lie. Shrouded in secrets and mystery.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. It is that time. It's Red Pill Politics time here at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I highly recommend that you point your browser to republicbroadcasting.org. Make sure they're saved in your favorites. Take a look around. Lots of great other programs going on 7 days a week. We have stuff to feed your brain. All right, there's a one-click player on every page of the site so that even progressives can listen. Okay. Check it out and be sure to hit that donation button on your way out, because we are listener funded. No corporate fat cats keep the signal going here. This is all due to people like you. So give big, give small, whatever you can do. Check out the specials and the promotions that are going on. There's a Book of the Month Club that's happening. Get involved. All right. If you have a business and you like to advertise, you know, call the station, get a hold of the station, let them know, create something that's mutually beneficial. All right. Those are the strongest contracts out there. Please do. Call in number 512-248-8252. We are taking calls today. If you want to further engage, there are two ways that you can play around and text chat with the other Patriots. There are volunteers in the station that are manning a chat room at redpillpolitics.chattango.com. And, of course, we always throw out a live stream to our Rumble channel. Now, if you're not already subscribed, you should be. All right. If you didn't know it existed, you need to go to redpillpolitics.tv and all the social media, including Rumble, as they blink on and off, are listed right there on the right hand side. Please do get subscribed to our Rumble channel and jump right in the text chat there. Try and field some questions from text chat as I see them. And of course, the call in number 512-248-8252. You can call right into the show. If you agree with me, say so. If you disagree with me, say so. All right, bring the receipts. Let's talk about it. All right, we are actually, we've got a caller on deck right now we're going to go to. Sherry from Kansas, how are you?
Hi, Dave. Trying to warm up.
Yeah, what's the temperature where you're at? We're hovering just a little bit above freezing here.
Oh, well, I got you beat. It's at least 40 outside.
But it's coming now. That cold stuff's definitely going to be hitting us pretty soon.
But, you know, a lot of these people that are talking about climate change at the executive level, a lot of them come from old money or are getting money from the people that have old money. And this old money comes from, a lot of that was, you know, they did things to pollute the earth way back then. Or drugs. They were selling drugs to pollute people, you know. There's quite a bit of this old money that came from, you know, people selling opium when it was legal. But, and then they got into banking, which was, you know, a little bit more
respectable. Yeah, once the banksters get involved, you know, then, you know, they're bankrolling one or both sides of an issue to massage the global population into position for something. All right, the climate is one of the few things that they can glom onto. If you look back historically, air, water, now the weather, climate, are things that are, you know, you can't nail them down. It's not in any one place. It affects everyone everywhere. So for them to gravitate towards that is natural. But, man, we have got to look at what they're proposing. In most nations, I mean, here in the United States, I just got through saying it in the last segment, the UN is incompatible with us, just based on our principles of private property rights, and they're based on a socialist worldview of collectivism where government owns and controls and divvies up property, land, nature. And that's not the way we do things here, but... Yes, globalization. We're starting to see what they meant by globalization. Now, back in the 80s and 90s, let me ask you, when the word globalization became popular, what did you envision it as?
Well, I've always, I've got to admit, I never really started getting what you might call politically active until about, the late 80s. But, yeah, I knew it was good because it wasn't any good because I, you know, it's more important what's happening in your local area. That's where the government should be driven from. But, you know, if I had...
Isn't that where true security comes from? Isn't that where true security comes from? You just said it's really all about what's in your local area. And I largely agree, because if those things that you require in life, food, water, shelter, energy, all those things are as local as possible. You know, I like to be able to, you know, drive around during the week and actually drive by some of my food growing. Wouldn't that be nice? That's food security when you have grown enough food within your state boundaries to feed your state's people. But we're not there. Why is it that all nations of the world are like that? Why can't they feed themselves? And they depend on imports from other nations. That's globalization. It's mutually assured destruction with food as a weapon rather than a nuclear weapon.
Well, especially in these places that are, where they don't really have much of a winter. Those people should be growing their food all the time, but so much of it is they're growing money crops that they can sell, you know, and instead of growing the food to feed the people. I mean, look what was happening in Afghanistan. That's a pretty stark place when you consider it's really kind of a type of desert. But what were they growing? Poppies, because that was a money crop.
Mm.
You know, yep. But...
And look at when our military was over there. They portrayed it as, you know, we had to send in the military to protect the farmers, that the Taliban was running around killing farmers and burning their farms. That wasn't what was going on. They were paying the farmers because they got paid for their poppy fields regardless. They were burning the crops as a means of price control. They wanted to get the most for the drugs that were being flooded into the American streets. And when you know, it's all, this is macroeconomics at work. It's all about supply and demand. And when you have a huge supply, in fact, an abundant supply of something, the price goes down because it's everywhere. So they had to create artificial scarcity by burning the fields. But, you know, imagine that. That's what our military, and I've spoken to countless veterans who served in Afghanistan who either did or knew of people regularly out there guarding poppy fields.
Well, and I do believe why we're out of Afghanistan is because fentanyl. You know, fentanyl's taken over where they used to be morphine and opium.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, those I think are still out there, but yeah, there's now competition. And you see it on the streets, too, those people that are, you know, they look like they're dead, but still standing up. It's amazing to see. But fentanyl is everywhere, overdoses every single day. You know, they're taking us down from within. I think, you know, that's not by accident.
Well, and they try to make it hard for you to, get a community currency going or to organize your community where it's more, I know people put a bad tone on this word, but sustainable, where, you know, people work together and like, but there's been a lot of industries over the years that polluted, you know, but those people got their money, and I mean, look what Dow's been able to get away for decades.
You bring up a good point here, is that the globalists out there say, oh, we can't let these big polluters destroy our planet and all this, that, and the other. Like, there's no way, no mechanism that exists to deal with it. And that is a bold-faced lie. Here in the United States, if you just simply, you know, obey the Constitution and the laws of the land, you have due process. If your life, liberty, or property has been harmed in some way, harm, injury, or loss to life, liberty, or property, you have access to the courts. You know, to have justice and let due process take place. If Dow went, you know, who has a plant next door to my house, and they contaminated my well, I should have complete legal access and remedy to sue them directly for what they did, so that the very first person, the one who abuts them with my one little acre, can sue that great big multi-million-dollar company for what they did. And now what they're allowed to do is to contaminate and cause harm, injury, or loss to life, liberty, and property, but they're shielded. It's like with the vaccines. the worst thing to do is to give them blanket immunity. They have zero incentive to create a safe and effective product. But we have access. There's no environmental degradation by any big corporation that the Constitution hasn't laid out a path for us to seek remedy on. But it's selective enforcement. That's what we have, is the governments and their lackeys are allowed to exceed the law, and they turn a blind eye to it. We have the mechanisms to deal with all that.
I disagree, Dave. I think the courts are so crooked that, you know, and these big companies...
I didn't say the judicial branch was not corrupt. It absolutely is. I don't think it's going to work as smoothly as I presented it here. I don't have rose-colored glasses on, but it was laid out for us. A remedy for every individual, whether a prince or a pauper, has access to justice. But our judicial system has been perverted, so with that caveat.
Well, read the last clause of the, I can't cite it for you right now, but the last clause of the in the Constitution, where it gives the powers of Congress. And basically that Mike Gatty talks about it a lot. And it says basically we can do whatever we want. And what, tell me, since you push the Constitution so much, why is it that they all agreed, the people that were left, because some of them left because they knew they weren't even authorized to do the Constitution. They were just supposed to revise the Articles of Confederation. And they all agreed to keep the proceedings secret for 50 years. Now, why would that be? It's because all those people would have been dead. I mean, this thing was a scam from the get-go.
There's no doubt that at the time, and this is something I had to, I really struggled with over the years, is to get myself in the head of these people at the time and what was going on, not just to take a microscopic look at one issue, but look at all of the things at the time that were affecting the political winds. You know what I'm saying? And there were so many things going on at the time, such division. There was a legitimate fear on either side that, you know, if we stub our toe, if we're not successful, if we're so divided that we screw up, the British are going to come right in and stomp us, or some other nation. This was a moment of vulnerability. They were desperate at the time to, you know, Shays Rebellion. I come from the grew up on a road called Daniel Shays Highway. It was literally in my backyard. There was quite a movement started there, and they knew that they had to act quickly to unite. The Constitution wasn't perfect, even when you look at the language about black people being three-fifths of a white person. What was put together at that time, there was enough in it so that those injustices that existed, those areas that there could not have... that there wasn't a meeting of the minds on, would not be able to withstand the integrity of the rest of the Constitution. You know, if those things, if the, you know, the courts, if there were truly three branches of government that were keeping an eye on each other, and if we were constantly vigilant, those injustices and those things would be corrected. But to get in the head of what was going on at the time, I think you have to do. People were desperate to not die. People on all sides had gone out on how best to secure liberty, and knew that by associating themselves with this movement, they were signing their death warrant with the British. So it's a difficult thing to, you know, nothing's perfect, and the Constitution is one of those things that is not perfect.
Yes, but a lot of the people that were involved in writing the Constitution guiding it through were, there's quite a few of them that owed money to the government. And of the, you know, as it was operating under the Articles. And when they wrote the Constitution, they said that the government shall be liable for all debts. The new government should be liable for all debts owed to people. But they didn't say anything about, you know, about the people that owed the government money, like Robert Morris. He embezzled $17 million that he did not have to pay back. And apparently they've got a statue of him and a couple other guys at somewhere in Illinois, you know, like, but he was a crook. And as were many others, they were embezzling from the government during the Revolutionary War. I mean,
I have no doubt, you know, greed and corruption is everywhere. And it, you know, it really shadows much of what many of our founders have said, that, you know, this is for a moral, righteous people only. And man, I tell you, those people that are motivated by things like greed, man, you know, if there's not enough eyes on them, that's where, you know, this has become a self-protecting system where almost all of them are corrupted and protect each other. It's like pulling a thread on a sweater. Is that once you get into one of them, they're all so connected in their corruption that you just don't know where it's going to lead. So what
we need to,
and what they laid out for us is even worse. With its imperfections back then, I think the mechanisms were in place. If the people were forceful enough, and I don't mean force in a violent way, I mean force in an assertive way, could have corrected almost anything.
If we could get some amendments into the Constitution, one of them I would like to see was that the states start setting the salaries of their people in Congress, senators and representatives. U.S. senators and representatives, and there was another one I was thinking about this morning, but
you know,
I can't.
Sorry, I wouldn't mind paying them $1 million if they would turn away from corruption. Because look at AOC. Now here's a half-wit, B-rated bartender who was in debt when she came in, and she ran on a dare, on a bet, and got elected to Congress. And she's now worth, I think, over $9 million. So it doesn't, you're not correcting anything by just saying, I'm going to pay them a little bit less. What is corrupting?
Well, and also,
what made her a millionaire is what we got to go after.
They shouldn't be able to, all their investments should be in a blind trust. They shouldn't be able to invest the way they do, because they're just, that's why they vote for war. In the defense industry, you know, because they're making buku butts off of that. And
look at Nikki Haley. They're trying to make her something right now. She started out as poor as can be, and all of a sudden she's working with the UN as an envoy over there, and now she's got a multi-million dollar defense contracting company. You know, she's part of the swamp.
Oh, yeah, and the Koch brothers are... Well, one of them's dead now, but, you know, they have a big stake here in Kansas, in Wichita.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, and anyway, I've talked long enough. Good show.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in, Sherry.
All right.
Good hearing from you. Yeah, well, yeah, the Constitution is an imperfect document. I'll be the first to admit that, but... You know, we've got to get back to the basics of that. Because what was there, as imperfect as it was, it gave us the tools. If we were assertive and we used the tools that our founders gave us, the tyrants would have one hell of a hard time. But they are not. They're just walking right over us. We're an entertainment-based society. We see things on the friggin' TV and think that they're true. We take out of hand that whatever they could possibly broadcast, they couldn't broadcast a lie. Well, they did, and they have, and they are. And you do it enough times, you know, psychology dictates that if you see something and hear something enough times, that it becomes part of your long-term memory, that you begin to believe it. A huge segment of the population will begin to believe it. In children, it's a whole different thing. As I said 1,000 times, you know, they're like a blank slate, a blank computer, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Right? You can teach a kid that the moon is made of cheese. You could teach them also that they're evil and a plague on the earth, that the white ones amongst you are the most evil. What a horrible thing to teach little kids. It's institutionalized. It's exactly what they're doing. I don't know. So we've got our work cut out for us. The UN is on attack big time. They're rolling out what's going on at COP28 is being rolled out in every nation here in the United States. I mean, there's nothing left that's not targeted. I'm telling you right now, the very electricity that's running your computer for you to see and hear this signal, that energy is a year from now is going to be, like I said, it's not going to go up by a couple of percent here and there. It's going to be orders of magnitude. Orders of magnitude. You may not be able to afford things like electricity in your house every day of the week. You may not have a car this time next year. When I tell you that that they're coming after those necessities in life, you don't have to believe me. I prefer that you don't, and you actually go right now to the UN's websites, to their social media pages, all right, and look at the way they gift wrap tyranny. And they always put these little cartoony pictures up there and make it, look so nice. And they often use children. They're putting up a lot of stuff from the youth because they get the youth up there first, you see, to kind of warm things up, get their little snippets and their photo ops. And then, like I said, there's a whole team. It's obvious. If you go on Twitter, go to your senator's page and click on anything that they post and then look at the comments and you'll see that their constituents, the yous and the me's, the we the people, are just taking them to task, hammering them mercilessly. And that needs to continue. But you go to the UN's content, which is all very scripted. They got an army of little minions behind this to give an illusion, because they're all about illusions. There's nothing real about the UN. These are all policies made up by global communists. They only turn into enforceable law. They only harm you when you allow it, when you consent to it, when you believe that it exists. But go and watch, and you'll see that they got an army of minions who immediately, look at the timing of it. The post goes up, the word goes out. Hey, everyone, here's the post. Here's the link to the post. Come in and leave positive comments. And it's to flood out the real people of the world that are saying, you have no authority to do that. No. And, you know, be a force out there, because a lot of people, for every one person that posts, there's 1,000 that read it. And they know that. They know that. But they're coming right after your water. Those of you that think you got a private well, you're not safe from this. All right, it gets worse. We'll be right back after this message. This is Red Pill Politics. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. Be right back.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.